的秀了，真的是。滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴滴
Good morning. Hello. Welcome to chapel this morning. Well, it's a lovely morning. It's especially good to see anyone who's a visitor or new with us. Good to see my in-laws, Eric and Angela, back with us, which is nice. Keep me in the inheritance. So, a special welcome needs no introduction. Eric and Carolyn, thank you for playing. So we look forward to what Eric is going to bring to us from Ephesians 2 as we continue our journey in Ephesians, and we're in verses 1 to 10 this week. Our title today is Alive Together with Christ, which is very apt in this week where the sort of country kind of draws together, doesn't it? Which is nice. Just a short note about Jim Allen. Several people have asked, so I thought it was just easier to say. For 2 weeks, Jim was a bit poorly with a chest infection with a cold. It wasn't COVID, but that was kind of bad news because a bad cold is worse than COVID, really, at the moment. And he came last week just at the 11th hour, but halfway through he was coughing, and he said to me, "I'm going to go, but I'm okay. And I'm at a wedding next week." So we pray that Jim's health improves as he's up in Scotland for another wedding. Just two brief reminders. Next Sunday, it's a good opportunity, always an opportunity to invite someone to chapel, but it's a little bit different as we do a Jubilee service. I'm leading the first part, but it's a privilege to have Hoppy with us, Dave Hopwood, to guide us through that. So do think of inviting somebody, or at least just telling them, and it will hopefully be on the internet later as well. And a further reminder, I've got a leaflet, you can see myself or Helen for any details. The village fate, yes, fate is still spelt wrong. I'm drawing, which is fate. Yes, what my fate will be, yes. It starts at 2 o'clock on all afternoon until 5. But again, a good chance for outreach, and we'll be there under our chapel's banner, as it were, and we can chat and make some relationships. Just before I hand over to Eric, shall we commit our time together to the Lord in prayer? Shall we pray? So, dear Lord, we praise and thank you for this summer's morning. Thank you that we live in such a beautiful part of the world, and we praise you for all your beauties of nature that you have made. Thank you for being with us this last week in all that we've experienced. Bless our monetary offerings now, giving back to you via this place what's already yours. May they go towards extending and glorifying your kingdom here on earth. We invite your Holy Spirit once again just to bless us and minister to us as we want to draw closer to you and understand all that you would have us learn and know of you this morning. Be with Eric and Carolyn, we pray, as they bring your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Eric. Jeff's just going to have a quick word he wanted.
Thank you, Jeff.
Lovely
to see everybody. Welcome to church. Great being here, isn't it? So today, what is it today? I'm not sure it's roughly today, tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day. It's a wedding anniversary of Liv and Nick. I don't know which one to congratulate best, really, on their endurance over 3 decades. Security guards sitting around the building to protect them. That's a wonderful thing. Let's pray for them. Bible, it's so good to celebrate a Christian couple's marriage, and have embraced Harrison and live their life serving you. I pray, Lord, that you will enable them to love each other as you love them. We thank you that their lives have been a witness to you. And we pray, Lord, that you will walk each step of their continuing years with them. Bring them great joy and great peace in you, and welcome them into glory with their action. But we thank you for
them. Amen.
All yours, Eric.
Lovely. Thank you. Well, thank you for inviting me again, and it's good to be here. It's like coming home now to Abbotsham, and Carol and myself enjoy coming here now. Before the service, that was lovely, Jeff, actually, to do that, because I can tell you that they are married. There's no, yeah, because I signed the wedding certificate, didn't I? So I know that they're married, and Nick said that Jeff wanted to speak for half a minute, and I thought, well, that's good, because not very often Jeff speaks for half a minute, is it? And it reminded me of that story. I don't know if you've heard it, but about the man who was preaching, and he was going on and on and on and on, and he wouldn't stop preaching. And, you know, there was a lot of deacons, like they do in these Welsh chapels, sat behind, and one of them thought that, well, if he took off his shoe and threw his shoe at him, it might, you know, make him think. And he did that. He took off his shoe to throw at the preacher, but it passed the preacher, and it knocked the man out in the front row. And as the man was coming around, after being knocked out, you could hear him say, "Hit him again, I can still hear him." Does that make sense to you? It does? Right, okay. Right. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Yeah. You're not quite sure, are you? Well, let's start with a lovely old hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
Oh,
Now, I think it's lovely for us to read the scriptures together. And so a psalm's going to come up, Psalm 8, and we're going to read this together. It's part of our worship, and to read God's word is really good for each one of us. So Psalm 8, and we begin with these words, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs now. And the first one is 361. Of course, you don't have it, folks. Yeah. Jesus, how lovely. You can sit and sing if you like. Yeah, this is so beautiful. Just telling the Lord Jesus how lovely he is. Gentle, so cool. Lord, we just pray that the words of that song may be the testimony of our hearts here this morning. Because, Lord, we believe that you are so lovely, you are so good, you are so kind, you are so precious. We just pray that that may be a reality in our own lives. Each day as we live amongst different people, that reality may be the testimony of our lives, and it may shine forth, and it may be something beautiful, and that in our lives we may be telling how lovely and how beautiful you are. We bless you for your presence with us this morning. We ask that you will just enfold each one of us into your love, so that we may receive from you and we may know you blessing our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing another song, and a little bit different this one. That's why I've imported Julie and Paul to lead you. Amazing Grace. You know this hymn, don't you? But it's got a little bit of a different... Do you sing it out here? My Chains Fell Off? A little bit of a chorus? Do anybody know it? Some of you do. Good. Well, if you know it, you sing up. Because it's a beautiful hymn, but unfortunately, it's got a little bit played out in society. You know, whenever there's something special, they sing Amazing Grace, don't they? You know, nationally. If you have a remembrance service, they sing Amazing Grace. If you have a concert, they sing Amazing Grace. And very often, you know, we get so used to the tune and that we miss the words. And so with this chorus, it just helps to bring it a little bit better. Now, what have I got to tell them, Nick? To avoid... Not the bits in bracket. Forget the bits in bracket. We sing the first two verses, but follow Julie. Paul. Follow Paul. Yeah. Follow Jeff. Yeah. Follow Carolyn. All right, now do you want to sit? More comfortable sitting, isn't it? How sweet the sound. Oh. Oh, bless your hearts. Thank you very much for singing it. Anyhow, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your presence this morning, and we come, Lord, with joyful hearts, and we come with hearts that are full of praise, and we thank you for all your goodness to us in this past week, and for the way in which you have guarded us, and you've protected us, and you've blessed us in so many ways. And we come this morning and we just return to you our grateful thanks. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for the very fact that we can come here this morning and we can enjoy ourselves and we can be in your presence. We can hear your word. We can sing your praises. We can look to you and we can receive from you. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to worship you even in prayer, and to come and tell you how great and how wonderful and how marvelous you are. We thank you that we can come and we can bring other people to you in our prayers, and we know that you are interested in our prayers. And Lord, when we look back over this past week, we've seen some terrible things happening in our world. And Lord, we just bring to you this morning those dear families in America who have suffered so much this week, who have had their lives turned upside down. And Lord, we just come, and as a little company of your people here in Abbotsham, we bring these people and we remember them before your throne of grace. And we just ask, Lord, that you will be near to them and you will comfort them in a very special way. Lord, our minds go farther afield to Ukraine and to the troubled spots of the world. And we just, Lord, have to stand back because we are not sure of what's happening around us. And every day, Lord, there seems to be bad news. But we pray that you will keep our eyes upon yourself, that through the week we may continually look to you. And Lord, you may be the source of our strength and our encouragement to continue to carry on and to fight the good fight. So Lord, we pray for those people in Ukraine who are suffering at this time. We think of that little Christian group, Lord, that we've come into contact with, and we just pray that you will bless them and strengthen them and be very close to them at this time. And Lord, as this country goes into Jubilee Week, Lord, and we have a celebration in our nation, Lord, we just thank you again for our Queen and for her testimony over the years and for what she's been to so many people, Lord. And we just pray that you will bless this week for her and for each person. And we may give thanks to you for all your goodness to us as we bring our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, and starting at verse 1, and finishing at verse, I'm supposed to finish at verse 8, but I may read verse 9 as well. So, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm reading from my New Living Translation. How many of you remember years ago there used to be the Good News Bible? Can you remember that? Well, actually, the New Living one that I use is just an update of the Good News, and I always find it most helpful and easier to read. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the worlds in the unseen world, commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as an example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. May God bless to us his word. We're going to look at that in a moment. Before we do, as you know, I always choose a very old hymn, so it makes it feel like it's Sunday. And our old hymn is Speak, Lord, in the Stillness. It's a beautiful hymn. It's a prayer. Do you know this one? You do. Carolyn, just play it through. And let's use it as a prayer.
Speak, Lord, rest in constant.
prayer, really, in a beautiful song. I like it when Jeff sends me the passage to preach on, because it's good to have something in your mind to walk on. You see, if when you do a little bit of lay preaching, it's very easy always to preach on the same sort of things. But when you're given something to speak on, Rownswell Church always asks me to do that. Appleton Baptist always give me the passage. It's good because it makes me study and get into it. And it's, I enjoy it. I really do. And I learn a lot. You know, it ministers to me as I do it. Now, today's subject is fairly heavy. And I hope that I'm not too heavy and you don't find it too hard going. And in some ways, it's a very fundamental passage of the Bible. It's a passage that we've got to know. It's important to us. Now, a couple of things I want to say to you before I start. And that is, first of all, I did an RMN, mental nurse course, training, many years ago. And we had to take an exam. I might have told you this before. And the tutor said, each one of you will pass the exam. You needn't worry. And because a lot of us were worried how we would get on in the exam. She said, don't worry about it, you will pass the exam. And we thought, how? And she said, now listen to me. They'll give you a question, and you have to answer that question. But the answer to the question is in the question. Does that make sense? So she said, read the question. Did they tell you that when you did your training? Yeah. Read the question. Because the answer to the question is in the question. And we all passed our exam because we did what we said. And secondly, when you read the Bible, read the background of the Bible, the background of the story. Because then you understand the story a lot more. You understand the scriptures a lot more. Now, when you read this passage, if I read it to you, it wouldn't mean so much to you unless you knew what was behind it. And this is so important because I expect you've done it. Whoever introduced chapter 1, verse 1, should have told you this. But, you know, I'll just refresh your mind and I'll refresh my own mind. Paul wrote this when he was in prison in Rome. And he wrote it to the Christians who were in Ephesus in Turkey. And you can still go to Ephesus now, you know, and see the ruins because it's a ruined city now. It's not a vibrant city like it was, but it was a center of education. They had a great library at Ephesus. There were a lot of educated people there. And so when Paul wrote this letter to the Christians at Ephesus, it was important how he wrote it. And you see, when Paul started out on his missionary journey, he would go to a town, but he would go to the synagogue, to the Jews first of all. That's who his ministry was for. So he would go to the Jews at the synagogue, and he would explain to them that all that they believed in the Old Testament had been fulfilled in Jesus. And of course, you can understand what a stir that caused. Because he was sort of turning everything upside down for them. They wouldn't accept it. Now, it's just like today. Things haven't changed. You know, let me give you an example. A few years ago, in our churches, one of the great movements was the charismatic movement. And it went into many churches, and it caused problems. And some of the biggest churches, and the smallest churches, split because of the charismatic movement. People wouldn't accept it. And it was the same with Paul. You know, I've just finished reading The Life of James Thorne. Now, I think I mentioned this last time I was here, but I am very interested, and I've been doing a lot of research and looking at it in a deep way into the old Bible Christian movement. Now, James Thorne lived in Shebbia, which is, what, 18 miles from here? And he was the founder of the Bible Christian movement, which swept the West Country. And as I said last time, we have Shebbia College, and we had Edge Hill College, which was started by the Bible Christian movement 200 years ago. And it went up into Kent. And there are a lot of Bible Christian churches in Kent. And it went to Canada. And it went to Australia. It went to China through this man called James Thorne, who started the movement in Shebbia, here. And do you know what James Thorne said 200 years ago? He said that we need the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. He said we need a second blessing. We need blessing after blessing in our lives. He said we need the movement of the Holy Spirit in our churches and in our lives. Nothing new, is there? Nothing new under the sun. You see, when Paul went to Ephesus and he started talking about this Jesus who was crucified, and he's the one that you've been reading about in the scriptures, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't understand it. And so he had to put it plainly before them. And Paul can be quite heavy, you know, with his theology. He was a very clever man. He was a doctor, a teacher, a very clever man. And he had to put it to them in a very deep way. And one of the things he comes out with, he says to these people in Ephesus, there are two kinds of people. There are those who are dead and alive, and those who are alive. There are those who are spiritually dead, and there are those who are spiritually alive. Now, which one are we this morning? Are we spiritually dead, or are we spiritually alive? Well, verses 1 to 3 talk about the spiritually dead people. So can I just talk about the dead for a moment? Paul accepts this. You know, Paul says that he admits that once he was spiritually dead. You know that, don't you? If you read the book of Acts, you remember he went around and he persecuted the church. And he put Christians to death. And he put them in prison. Because of what they believed. Paul was spiritually dead. He couldn't see anything else. You know, he couldn't see what was happening. He was spiritually dead. You know, if you're dead, you can't see anything, can you? You know, as a nurse, I don't want to be callous, but I've seen a lot of dead bodies, and they've never been able to do anything for themselves. You know, they are spiritually, they are dead. There's no doubt, there's no life. And on a very light-hearted note, can I do something on a light-hearted note? I was, I belong to a little group. It go down and tied in the churchyard at Northam, and you know we take great pride in our churchyard, and I go down and help cut the grass quite often, once a week sometimes, and do weeding. I was down there just before May Day, and we were tidying the churchyard, getting it really ready, you know, and I went off by myself, and I was weeding a grave, you know. I was miles away, like you are when you're doing a job. And I was thinking, I think I was preaching the next Sunday, next day, and I was going through things in my mind. Down beside the churchyard, there's a path, you know, a little bit lower than the churchyard, and I was down there weeding away, and all of a sudden I heard a voice, "Hello, Eric, what are you doing?" Do you know, I can tell you, I beat the Olympic high jump record that time. Somebody had passed. They seen me, but I hadn't seen them, you know. And it did, didn't it frighten me? It made me jump for a minute. Of course, you know, dead people cannot lie. It's very simple, you know. If you're spiritually dead, you cannot see spiritual things. You know, we had a friend, she was a sister of a ward in Barnstable. And Carol and myself were very friendly with her and her husband. And we used to go on weekends with them, trips. We used to spend time together. In fact, I don't know why, but they have both passed on now, but I was invited to speak at the husband and the wife's funeral. But, you know, spiritually, they were absolutely dead. You may have met people like this, and it didn't matter what you said to them. You could not in any way touch their lives. It was strange. We could never get onto a spiritual plane with them. Most people, you know, say to you, oh, what were you doing in church last Sunday, you know, or did you go to church, you know, something like that. But you could never, yet they were lovely people, they were good people, we enjoyed their company, we had lovely times together, but spiritually, they were dead. And that's so often. Like that, you may have met somebody, you may have somebody in your family, you may feel like that yourself. Well, if you do, just pray that the Lord will enlighten you. And he will. Isn't that lovely to think, you know, that if we know that, well, I'm like that. Lord, will you enlighten me? He will. So, that's the first thing that I wanted to bring to you. That, you know, two kinds of people. Spiritually dead, spiritually alive. What else did Paul say to those believers? He said to them, hey, you live in sin just like the rest of the world. You are obeying the devil. A little bit hard to say, isn't it, to people, that you are obeying the devil? If you're not living a Christian life, this is the bare facts. If you're not living a Christian life, you are obeying the powers of darkness, of the unseen world. Do you ever ask yourself why these terrible things happen in the world? Did you ask yourself this week when that man shot all those innocent little children and teachers? What's happening? You know, it's because people are obeying the powers of darkness. That's the fact. I'm sorry I have to say this, but it's so true. It's a reality. Do you ever say to yourself, sometimes, when you're thinking about things, and all of a sudden a thought comes into your mind, which isn't a very nice thought. And you say to yourself, well, where did that come from? That's not like me to think like that. Have you had that experience? You know, when you've been perhaps dealing with somebody, it's been causing problems in your life. Where did that thought come from? You see, the powers of darkness. It says here, doesn't it? Infiltrates our minds. And it's so important that we have the helmet of salvation on. Well, we should live our lives God's way. That's the way we should be living. Not the way of the devil. And this is what Paul was saying to these Christians in Ephesus. Now look, you need to be living God's way. You need to be living God's life. The way that he wants us to live. not as the song puts it, I did it my way. You know, I always shudder when I have to hear that at a funeral. You know, I hope I'm not upsetting anybody, but when they have that one, I did it my way, because if you did it your way, there's no hope for you. You've got to do things God's way in life. I had to take a funeral of a friend of mine who I work with, a colleague, and he didn't have any Christian thoughts or input, and I had to meet his wife, and I think she would have liked that one, but I sort of said, well, everybody has that one, you know, got round it. So, they didn't want any hymns, so we had Love Me Dearly, Love Me Lovely Tender, Love Me True, yeah, as he was brought in, and as he went out, they had Oh What a Beautiful Morning. So, you know, it was different, but I'm so thankful that they don't say, you know, I did it my way. Because if you live your way in life, you end up, and this is what Paul said to the Christians in Ephesus, if you live life your way, you end up living under the wrath of God. And that's hard, isn't it? It's not PC to say things like that. I ought to be here telling you God is a God of love. He's a wonderful God. He thinks the world of you. But, you know, God is a God of wrath as well. And the Old Testament speaks of the God of wrath. You know, there's more in the Bible about the wrath of God than what there is about the love of God. In fact, if you want the true facts, there's very little about the love of God in the Bible. In some books in the Bible, it's not even mentioned. But the wrath of God is, and the righteousness of God. And if you know the righteousness of God, you know the love of God. Do you see? Makes all the difference. I used to know a minister, and I was sad this, but he didn't like that song, In Christ Alone. You know that song, Christ Alone? Because of the words in it, till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. You know, and he used to think, oh, it's a terrible words. But actually, they're very beautiful words, because Jesus died to save us from the wrath of God. Probably you're saying to me, well, come on, Eric, lighten up. So I'm going to lighten up now and give the last few verses, okay? And God's salvation to the rescue. Isn't that wonderful? What I'm going to say to you now is nothing new. It's all summed up in that lovely old hymn, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Yeah? Tell me the story softly. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in. That wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it's all about. The lovely story about Jesus who came and died for us. You can't get tired of that story. You know, can I put it like this? I never think Sunday's Sunday without a Sunday lunch. I like a roast on Sunday, you know. I'm a bit old-fashioned. And even if I go out for a meal, which is very, very rare on a Sunday, but if I go to a restaurant, Carolyn will say, what are you having? I'm going to say, well, I'm having a Sunday lunch. Because it's Sunday, you know. And do you know, I've been having Sunday roast now for over 70 years. And do you know, I'll tell you something. I'm not tired of them. You know. And I've been hearing the gospel message time and time again over the years. But I'm not tired of it. Because it fills me. It's something beautiful. It's something wonderful. God's remedy for sin. And then we get that little word, don't we? Which comes into but God. But God. That word but is such an important little word. Verse 4. But God. You know, one of the things I remember from school, I don't remember much, but one of the things I remember, and we've got teachers here, now tell me if I'm right, but I was always taught at school that you should never ever start a sentence with the word but. Is that right? See, some of you are not. Well, you taught that. Yeah? You should never start a sentence with the word but. So they got it wrong here, have they? No. You know, but it's reinforcing it, isn't it? But God. But God. God intervened. It changes everything. That little word changes everything. It's a word that we use in our English language every day. But in Scripture, it's but God. You find but Christ. But when. Something was lost, but now is found. Someone was dead, but now is alive. A person was blind, but now they can see. There was no way, but God made a way. You know, but, such an important word. It just, as it were, it is a word which sort of brings in, introduces and conveys the message of a gracious and a compassionate and intervening God. But God. Have you had a but God in your life? Have you, you know? Things been going wrong in your life, or something's happening, and all of a sudden you said, it's been answered a prayer. And you said, but God answered my prayer. What an intervention. Anyhow, I'm going to push on because time's going, but God is so rich in mercy. He's not just a merciful God, He's rich in mercy. And you know, I can understand these Jews at Ephesus, you know, hearing this from Paul, and perhaps they've never realized this. They knew the God of the Old Testament, which perhaps to them was a far off God, but now it was saying, but hey, but God is in your life. God can come into your life and change everything. Oh, you know, my Christian life is all about God. It's not about me. He chose me. He was the one who called me. He was the one who adopted me. He was the one who sent Jesus, his son, to save me. He was the one who called me by his Spirit. He was the one who forgives me. He was the one who made me anew. He is the one who raised me up. He was the one who satisfied me and satisfies my life. He is the one who makes me holy in his sight. He is the one who keeps me. He is the one who one day will take me home to his glory. He is the one. It's not me. It's amazing grace. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what Paul was saying to these Christians there. Well, I'm going to finish because I always believe in finishing on time, as you know. Can I tell you a quick story to finish it off? All right? Bringing it all together. God's grace, my faith. No, it's not my faith. That's a gift of God. Do you know, some years ago, I was taking a holiday, speaking at a holiday complex in, I think it was Hokitike. And through the day, when there weren't any evening sessions, we'd go on the beach. And on the beach, they had speedboats. And you could go on the back, and they'd join you up to a line and a parachute. And the speedboat would go off, and you would go off the end of the boat, and you'd go up in the air in the parachute. Remember? What do they call it? Paraglider? But I haven't got a head for heights. And so I wasn't going to do it. Carolyn did it, and she enjoyed it, and everybody else in the house party enjoyed it, and they thought it was fantastic. They thought it was lovely. And in the evening, at the evening meeting, everybody was discussing it. And they were saying, Eric, you want to do it? And I said, no way, because I haven't got a head for heights. No, I'm not doing it. They said, you ought to. Come on. I said, no. Make your holiday. I said, no, I'm not doing it. And they kept on with me. And in the end, I said to them, I'll go if you pay. Thinking that would shut them up. And they said, right, we'll pay. And so I had to be true to my word, and I remember standing on the back of the boat, and I was shaking, actually. And they joined me all up with a harness, and they let the rope out, and gradually I went up. And I think I went right up into the outer atmosphere. It was so high. And I was catching hold of the harness, and my knuckles were white, and all the thoughts were going through my mind. What happens if the rope breaks, or, will I float over the Alps and end up back at home, something like that, you know? All these thoughts were going through my mind, and, you know, I wasn't really enjoying it. But then all of a sudden I thought to myself, come on, Eric, you're safe, because you're joined to the boat. Look around. Enjoy the magnificent scenery. Just see what's happening. And I did. And gradually. And I thought to myself, all I had to do is just remember. That rope or cable, that cable was holding me to the boat. And I was safe. My faith, which the Lord gives me, holds me to His grace. And I'm kept safe every day in His love. And you can experience that this week by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Isn't that lovely? Each one of us can experience that this week. His grace, His love in our lives. Well, thank you for listening, and we're going to have all that fills my soul is Jesus. Yes? Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? Yeah. This is our closing hymn, and afterwards I think it's a cup of coffee, isn't it? Great.
Oh, that thrills my soul.
He is more than life to me. And we pray as we leave this morning that as we go into this new week, Jesus may be really real to us. And that each one of us may be thrilled to know that he is in our lives. So we commend ourselves into your care. We commend ourselves into your blessing. May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and be with each one of us this day and forevermore. And all the people said, Amen.